ask that you give your attention to our speaker today, Pete.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I would like to thank Reverend John Sullivan and the Healing Hands of Light Spiritualist Church of Chicopee, Massachusetts, for the opportunity to speak today on this fantastic subject. Today's presentation is on how mediumship was scientifically proven. I will introduce you to the great American scientist, Dr. Robert Hare, born in 1791. And then I will read from the report by the London Dialectical Society of 1869. These able investigators used the proper scientific method of objectively establishing facts through repeated tests that had verifiable and empirical results. The late great trumpet medium Reverend James Tingley taught his students that spiritualism is a science because it can be proven. Like all great discoveries, spiritualism was to receive the baptism of trial, persecution, and humiliation. Friends, death is the question mark that confronts us all, and Job asked it best, this very question: if a man dies, will he live again? If mediumship was proven by scientists, then spirit return is a scientifically proven fact. I ask, what did the phenomena of genuine mediumship accomplish? The answer is, this genuine mediumship has proved that there is life after death, removing mankind's greatest fear, the fear of death. How? By intelligent conversations with these so-called dead, and by scientifically proven mediumship, we know that human consciousness survives the change called death. The first American scientist who pulled back the veil of death is Dr. Robert Hare. He was an emeritus professor of chemistry from the University of Pennsylvania and a graduate of Yale College and Harvard University. He was an associate of the Smithsonian Institute and a member of various learned societies. Dr. Hare invented the oxyhydrogen blowpipe and authored more than 150 papers on scientific, political, and moral subjects. In fact, he was one of the first scientific authorities to denounce spiritualism in the press. Robert felt that it was his duty to his fellow creatures to bring whatever influence he possessed to the attempt to stem the tide of popular madness, which in defiance of reason and science was fast setting in favor of the gross delusion called spiritualism. In 1853, at the age of 72, he began his investigations to debunk mediumship and spiritualism. He devised a number of instruments and tests which, contrary to his beliefs and expectations, proved conclusively that there was a power and an intelligence at work responsible for this strange phenomena known as rapamania and table tilting. His book, Spiritualism Scientifically Demonstrated, was released in 1855. One instrument he invented was the Hare wheel. It consists of a revolving disc attached to a table in a manner that the movements of the table actuated the pointer, which ran around the letters of the alphabet printed on the circumference of the disc and spelt out messages. The disc could not be seen by the medium A.D. Ruggles. Dr. Hare's scientifically proven conclusions were, first, these rappings and other noises have been made which could not be traced to any mortal agency. Second, those in which the sounds were so made as to indicate letters forming grammatical and well-spelt sentences, affording proof that they were under guidance of some rational being. Third, those in which the nature of the communication has been such as to prove that the being causing them must be known, acquaintance, friend, or relative of the inquirer. Again, cases in which movements have been made of ponderable bodies of nature to produce intellectual communications. Dr. Hare added to his argument that many who never sought any spiritual communications and have not been induced to enroll themselves as a spiritualist will nevertheless not only affirm the existence of the sounds and movements, but also admit to their inscrutability. The professors of Harvard University passed a resolution denouncing him and his insane adherence to a gigantic humbug. When in Washington, D.C. in 1854, he tried to address the American Association for the Advancement of Science on the subject of spiritualism, he was howled down by them. He paid for his convictions by finally resigning from his chair. Before his death in 1858, Dr. Hare wrote, "I have acquired the powers of a medium in sufficient degree to interchange ideas with my spirit friends." He is famous for his Hare wheel. And I have a handout I'd like to share with you after today's service in the meet and greet. And it has a picture of the Hare wheel. It basically looks like a vegetable scale you might use at the market, where you put the weight on and the scale moves around to the weight that the vegetable weighs. And he had it devised so the medium, the various apparatus would create a weight on this invisible weight on the scale, and it would go to a letter spelling words and sentences and messages. So exactly, this is what really gets me. 1 year after Dr. Hare's death in 1859, a petition with over 15,000 signatures was submitted to Congress requesting a committee to be formed to investigate the phenomena of spiritualism. As you can guess, it was voted down. But to the benefit of modern world, 10 years later in 1869, the London Dialectical Society Committee published their report on spiritualism, in which they concluded that there was an unseen intelligence behind the raps and table movements. This subcommittee was made up of 33 prominent scientists, Lubbock, Lewes, Huxley, Crookes, and Wallace. They held 40 meetings for their purpose of experiment and test, and after 18 months of exhaustive experimentation and research, this commission in its report recognized the reality of the phenomena and concluded in the favor of spiritualism. I will read in their own words one such experiment. On an occasion when 11 members of your subcommittee had been sitting round one of the dining tables above described for 40 minutes and various motions and sounds had occurred, they, by way of test, turned their backs of their chairs to the table at about 9 inches from it. They all then knelt upon their chairs, placing their arms upon the backs thereof. In this position, their feet were, of course, turned away from the table and by no possibility could be placed under it or touch the floor. The hands of each person were extended over the table at about 4 inches from the surface. Contact, therefore, with any part of the table could not take place without detection. In less than a minute, untouched, moved 4 times, at the first about 5 inches to one side, then about 12 inches to the opposite side, and then in like manner, 4 inches and 6 inches respectively. The hands of all present were next placed on the backs of their chairs and about a foot from the table, which again moved, as before, 5 times over spaces varying from 4 to 6 inches. Then all the chairs were removed 12 inches from the table, and each person knelt on his chair as before, this time, however, folding his hands behind his back. This body being thus about 18 inches from the table, and having the back of the chair between himself and the table. The table again moved 4 times in various directions. In the course of this conclusive experiment, and in less than a half an hour, the table thus moved without contact or possibility of contact with any person present 13 times, the movements being in different directions, and some of them according to the request of various members of your subcommittee. The table was then carefully examined, turned upside down, and taken to pieces, but nothing was discovered to account for the phenomena. The experiment was conducted throughout in the full light of gas above the table. Altogether, your subcommittee have witnessed upwards of 50 similar motions without contact on 18 different evenings. Delusion was out of the question. The motions were in various directions and were witnessed simultaneously by all present. They were matters of measurement and not of opinion or of fancy. And they occurred so often under so many and such various conditions. They wrote, "There is a force proceeding from or directly associated with the human organization, which in certain conditions can cause motion in heavy bodies and produce audible and palpable sounds in such bodies without muscular contact or any material connection between any person present and the heavy body so moved or on which the sounds are produced. This force appears to be frequently directed by some intelligence." So there you go. That's one of the first conclusions that they came up with, and it's a good one. "We conclude that this force is generated in certain persons of peculiar nervous organization in sufficient power to operate beyond bodily contact. To these persons, the spiritualists have given the name mediums on the assumption that they are the means of communication between disembodied spirits and the living. But they who, with myself, dispute the theory of spiritualism have given to those persons the more appropriate name of psychics." So when I read that, of course, I realized, okay, so science didn't like the name medium, so they renamed mediums to psychics. So psychic is a scientific name, I guess. And it goes on. "This psychic force is capable of accumulation. It grows by slow degrees. First come delicate sounds, audible only by help of a stethoscope. Then these grow louder and can be heard by the ear and felt by the hand. And then come motions that no person who has once witnessed them can either imagine or mistake. But all this manifestly the evidence of an accumulation of force, as electricity is accumulated in a battery or magnetism in a coil. And the sitting with the hands upon the table is the process of charging it with psychic force, which all human beings possess in a greater or lesser degree." So I like that. It affirms the fact that everyone has mediumistic potential. And the more you sit, usually the greater your mediumship skills become. So then these British scientists gave tips on how to operate or conduct a seance. And I find that exciting because that explains why spiritualism became crossed like a wildfire. It just spread across country, one end to the other, is because these scientists told us how to sit in a seance. So they said persons present with the psychic should form a circle after the manner of an electric chain. The force is promoted by joining of hands, but almost the same effect is produced by laying the hands on the table or on any other solid body, such body appearing to be in the nature of a conductor and possibly a collector of force. So it's that where you see people sitting around a table, they got their hands next to each other, maybe fingers touching lightly, that's charging the table. The psychic force, unlike muscular force, does not appear to operate by pressure. It is more in the nature of diffusion and inflation. It is apparently a force, the material of which is wholly unknown to us. The bodies moved by it are not moved by a jerk or by upward or downward continuous pressure applied to one portion of the subject only. The psychic force seems to diffuse itself through the whole substance of the thing moved. Thus, if it be a table, it is raised not by a force applied below, but as if by levitation of the material of which it is composed. When it rises from the floor, it mounts like a balloon. I think that's very exciting. If the hand is pressed upon it in its ascent, instead of depressing it on the side and feeling counter pressure of resistance in some special part of it, the sensation of the touch is that of a floating body rising because it is lighter than the air. A sensation that would be at once recognized by those who have ever amused themselves with toy balloons. It hovers in the air like a floating, not like a lifted body, and it descends generally with a more or less pendulous motion as in a descending balloon or a parachute. It never falls down like a solid mass. So the London Dialectical Society proved scientifically that discarnate people can move ponderable weights in the form of heavy tables, and they can communicate through codes, yes, no, don't know, or raps on a table, alphabetically identifying letters, words, and sentences. Friends, immortality was finally proven on a dumb table. And this is as significant as the stone door being rolled away from the empty tomb of Jesus. The empty tomb of Jesus proved we live after we die. And also, the raising of a table and the messages of rapping and such also proved that which the empty tomb of Jesus proved. So I think that's very significant here. The London Dialectical Society of Scientists also concluded that we might be surrounded by the spirits and yet be utterly unconscious of their presence. The air may be so thronged with them that we could never lift an arm without touching or passing through a spirit, and yet we might live and die in perfect ignorance of their presence, because our senses are incapable of perceiving the impressions made by matter more refined than that which they are constructed to perceive. So in 1848, the voice of the dead caused itself to be heard. Thus spiritualism was born, and death has ceased to be a thing of dread. Genuine mediumship can furnish objective truth that we can communicate those we mistakenly call the dead. And it bears repeating. They scientifically proved and concluded that there is a force capable of moving heavy objects without material contact, and which force is in some unknown matter dependent upon the presence of human beings. Your subcommittee have not collectively obtained any evidence as to the nature and source of this force, but simply as to the fact of its existence. So if everyone would have the truth of God, we would have the same truth. Is that not so? And man is not God, and nature destines every man to die and destines him for a higher state of existence. The effort of nature from the beginning is the evolution of the soul in all creatures from birth to physical death, and then a birth as a newborn spirit, untethered and sent off to progress further into the celestial heavens or the tortures of the self-created hells. The philosophy of spirit return has the tendency to unite mankind through brotherhood and not divide us by creeds. To communicate with the dead is a serious matter, and which has been blotted out for eons by science and religion. Lucky for us, it has become a certainty, proven scientifically by the great Dr. Robert Hare and the London Dialectical Society. That concludes my talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, the blessed ones.